But it was a fun time. So last week, we started a new series called Monsters of the Heart. And we talked about how every single one of us, we have this heart that we can't actually, you know, physically see or capture a photo of. But it's the heart that's much more beyond our physical heart. It's our heart and soul of who we are. And if we could take a snapshot of that heart, we would see the real us. Deep down inside that heart that feels, that fears, that has emotions, that mourns, that gets sad, that gets overjoyed, that heart is the real you. And that heart can easily fall and become corrupted or destroyed in many different ways. And so what we talked about last week is I asked you the question is, so how's your heart doing? How is your heart? And I gave you a concept that for many of you, you talked to me about was kind of revealing. Many of us, when we talk about our heart and I ask you that question, so how's your heart doing? You think about behavior, right? Oh, how's your heart doing? Well, you know, here's the way I was growing up is that, you know, when I'm behaving well, that's when I'm being a good boy or a good girl. And so that means I've got a good heart or a pure heart. But when I'm misbehaving, that's when I'm being bad. And I'm a bad boy or I'm a bad girl and I'm not following the rules. And then that must mean that I'm a lump of coal, a bad child, a rotten apple. And that's when my heart must be bad. And that's how we think many times when we hear that question, how's your heart? We think, well, let me look at the condition of my behavior. But what I proposed to you last week is that behavior is actually many times a mask that we put on. It's actually many times a filter that we use to suppress and edit the words and actions that we want to say. Everything's still there. It's down deep inside. The monster is very real, but we stop ourselves and we edit what we want to say and we throw a filter on and we appear differently. But that doesn't change the fact that the monster inside is very, very real, right? I mean, deep down inside, I want to get up at work and I want to jump on my desk and I want to throw a temper tantrum and I want to kick things, I want to yell at people and I want to be angry, but I don't, right? Because I want to keep my job. Or, you know, what I really want to do is I really want to go over across the street and I want to tell that neighbor, I want to tell that friend, I want to tell them off, I want to tell them how they're annoying me, I want to tell them how their kid hurt my kid, but I don't. I filter it, I suppress it. Or I want to call that person on the phone and I want to tell them, you know, how they made me feel and I want to make them feel bad and I want to get some revenge out of it, but I don't. I filter it, right? But here's the thing, is that the fact of the matter is that monster is still there and it's still very real. That monster of anger is still there. That monster of jealousy, of greed, of guilt is still there. And what Jesus wants to see us do in our lives is not suppress monsters or hide them, but to get rid of them. Because here's the truth. You can suppress the monsters and you can try to put as many filters or behavior modifications as you want on the monsters, but eventually something's going to happen and all of a sudden the monster is going to be exposed. It's going to come out and it's going to wreak havoc. And you already know what I'm talking about because you've had an instance in your life where, oh, there it comes. The monster just comes out and you say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Or, you know what, I didn't mean it. Or, I'm sorry, you know that's not the real me. I don't know where that came from. I'm just stressed. I'm just tired. I'm just, no. That was the real you. The real you just revealed itself. It just came out. And the thing is that you were tired or you were stressed and your filters couldn't keep up their strength. The shield came down and out came the monster. And that's the problem because it only takes one instance, one bad episode, one bad fight, one moment of jealousy or rage or greed or guilt to really damage our lives and our relationships. So we're talking about how do we deal with the monsters. Jesus talked about this. In Matthew 15, chapter 15, Jesus talked about how important the heart is. Matthew 15, it says this. It says, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. Where do all these things come from? What's the root? Where's the core? It's the heart. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, he wrote a proverb, and he warned us about this. He said in Proverbs 4:23, he said, above all else, what? Guard your heart. Because that's the wellspring of life. Right there, that's what it's all about. It's all about the heart, and so we need to protect it, and we need to guard it, and we need to make sure it's clean and pure and focused on the right thing. So we're going to talk about how to expel these monsters. And the first monster I want to specifically talk to you about this week is I want to talk to you about the monster of guilt. The monster of guilt can be a very damaging one. Guilt, as far as definition, you and I know it, it's defined as a feeling of responsibility or remorse for some offense, crime, or wrong, whether it's real or imagined. It's when I know that I've done something wrong, or I've harmed somebody, or I've done something to offend somebody. And guilt is not necessarily a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. Really, today, guilt is probably should be preached about differently than we have in the past, because quite honestly, our culture today and our world, we don't feel much guilt. You know what I mean? It's about no regrets. Well, quite honestly, the truth is that we should all have regrets. Guilt is not a bad thing. I believe in my heart, and I think the Bible speaks true to this, is that guilt is the Holy Spirit calling us back to who we should be, is telling us that we've done wrong, is telling us that we've gotten out of line of what God says we should do. And the Bible talks about this in Psalm 32:5. A perfect example is what David said. He said, "Then I acknowledge my sin to you and do not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." See, guilt's not a bad thing, because I believe it calls us back to God. Guilt really tells us that we're not in line with God, and that the Holy Spirit is telling us you need to do something to repair this, because something wrong has been done. But the problem is when guilt sits there and seeps in and becomes a monster of the heart. I'll tell you the most recent time that I have dealt with guilt. It was a few months ago, I believe, probably closer to Christmas time, if not around Christmas. I'm not going to tell you who the names were involved, because they're probably going to watch this sermon online. But there was a family member who got Olivia, my three-year-old daughter, all these clothes, right? And they got Olivia all these clothes, and they really, really wanted, they kept asking again and again and again for pictures of Olivia in these clothes. And I kept getting text messages and reminders. Hey, did you get the clothes? Yes, we got the clothes. Thank you very much. We're very appreciative. Well, I want to see pictures. I want to see pictures. And so we called the family member. We were talking to him. My mom and dad were in town, and we called the family member. And you know, we're like, hey, yeah, we got the clothes, thanks, you know. And then again, a reminder, well, I haven't seen any pictures yet. I really want some pictures. Yeah, we know, sorry, we've been busy and blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, we'll talk to you guys later. And my mom had the phone and click, right? And I look, and I just, as soon as we got the phone, I just went, oh. And my mom's like, what? And I'm like, again with the pictures, the pictures, the pictures. Like, we said thank you. We're very appreciative. But my goodness, can we just drop the pictures? Like, I get it, but I am just so tired of hearing the pictures. She goes on and on and on about the pictures, and I just kind of go on a little tirade with my mother. You know what I mean? I'm just aggravated. And so I'm still talking about it, and I'm in the kitchen, and me and my mom are cooking, and I go over, and we have this little, you know, this little counter island in the middle of the kitchen, and I look over, and mom's phone is still lit up, and the timer is still counting seconds, and I look a little closer, and then I hear breathing. My mother's not the best with technology, and she did not hang up the phone. And so I looked at my mom, I was like, and my mom's like, what, keep going, go on, don't say a word. And then all of a sudden we hear through the phone, I just heard everything you just said, and then hang up the phone. And I went, oh, I mean, the person wasn't even there, and I turned bright, bright red. the family member who's probably watching this, and again, I say sorry, heard everything, heard my whole rant, and I felt awful. I felt like a complete idiot. And so I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, oh my goodness, what do I do? So I immediately try to call the family member back. And they don't pick up the phone. And I'm thinking in my head, like, you know, how can I spin this? You know what I mean? Maybe I can convince them that, you know, I knew they were on the phone. And that I was just, it's a practical joke. Ha ha! You know, and no. Maybe I can convince them that my body was taken over by aliens. And, you know, I could check myself into an insane asylum for like a month and like really, you know, convince them or something. Like, and I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. So my dad's downstairs. I'm like, Dad, get up here. We got to help, you know. And so we just didn't know what to do. And it just felt awful. You know what I mean? I just felt completely awful, you know. And then, of course, the next thing I did was like, Olivia, get up here. We got to do a photo shoot now, you know. Like, we're sending lots of pictures today, honey. And Olivia's like, what are we doing? Just shush. We should have done this a long time ago. You know, but I feel awful. I felt so guilty. And maybe you've had an experience like that, right? Where you've done something and you just, oh, man, you knew it was wrong. And, I mean, you know, maybe you got caught. Or maybe somebody overheard something and they found out and just immediately, you know that feeling where just like something drops in your stomach? I don't know what it is. Again, there's nothing scientific or anything that's anybody's been able to see, but it just feels like your heart just bloop, just right in your stomach, man. It just hurts so bad and you feel so wrong and you feel so guilty. And it's just an awful, awful feeling when you have that guilt. But here's the problem is that many times that inner sense of wrong, that time where we've done something that we really know we've hurt somebody, what happens is it can turn into a monster if we're not careful. That monster, that feeling of being guilty, if we don't take care of it the right way and if we don't respond to it the way that God wants us to, it creates a monster inside of us. And what happens is that what that monster does is it lives and breathes, and really in many ways it makes us very insecure. And in a lot of ways, it stays with us. And then what happens is that the next time we let somebody down or we offend somebody, we find out we did something wrong, that monster flares up. And all of a sudden, those memories of how we felt the first time, that feeling of inadequacy, that feeling of being so small, it all comes back again and it makes us just feel like terrible, terrible people. You know what I'm talking about, right? Maybe you, in your past, you've hurt somebody, or you've offended somebody, or you've done something wrong, and it was a very traumatic experience, and somebody told you that you screwed this up. You messed up, and you are not good enough, and this is your fault, and you knew it was. It was a legitimate thing. It was your fault. But then the next time somebody at work or in your home, or just a friend told you, like, you know what, this was your fault, or you didn't do this the right way, or you screwed up, all of a sudden you feel this small again, right? And you go, oh, I'm sorry, it is, oh my goodness, stupid me, I'm an idiot, I messed up again, see, this is what I do, I mess things up, and I always let people down, and this is who I am, and see, that monster begins to just tear you down in your self-esteem. And you say those kind of things to yourself, don't you? Oh, stupid idiot. Man, you're so dumb. You always mess things up. See, you did it again. You try your best. The way you combat this monster is you try to be so perfect, right? I'm not going to ever do that again. I promise. That is a dumb promise because you are going to do it again because you're a human being. But you promise anyway. I promise you, I'll never do it again. I'll never mess up. I'm not going to mess up. And then you mess up again and you go, oh, man, stupid me. I'm so dumb, right? And that monster of guilt just makes you feel terrible, makes you feel awful. It eats you alive inside. And guilt, the thing about guilt is really like a hybrid monster. Because guilt is really anger. But it's not anger at somebody else. Do you know who it's anger at? It's anger at you. You're angry with yourself because you weren't enough, because you messed up. Because you promised you wouldn't, but you did. And it's not the person that you hurt or the person that you let down. It's you that you're mad at. And guilt is this monster, man. It can just weigh you down. It can make you depressed. It can make you feel anxious. It can bring down your self-esteem. It can make you think very, very little of yourself. So what do we do with this terrible monster of guilt? Because I know people who live this way, who try to live to people-please people, who always feel like things are their fault and feel like they can never do right. And it's so hard to have a relationship with this type of person, because if you say one thing to them or one critique or say, well, you know, maybe you should have done it differently, they tear themselves down, and you almost don't want to say anything to them because they're not secure and mature enough because of this monster to handle any type of criticism or any type of feedback at all, because one negative comment or one thing that maybe they should have done differently, they just immediately run to, oh, I'm such a stupid idiot. I knew I could. Well, you know, but, and they just, they eat themselves alive because of this guilt. So what do we do with this monster of guilt? Because it's a terrible place to live, and it's impossible to have a good, healthy relationship with people who have the monster of guilt. Well, here, I'm going to give you four things. There's only four things you can do with the monster of guilt. This is it, okay? If anybody tells you differently, you just tell them they're wrong, okay? There's only four things you can do with the monster of guilt. The first thing is you can do is this. Confess what you took. Confess what you took. You remember last week how I said that there's a debt-debtor relationship to every monster. Every monster we're going to talk about, there's a debt-debtor relationship. Somebody owes somebody something, okay? Well, with guilt, the monster of guilt, it says, I owe you. I did something to you. I offended you, or I took something from you. I did something, and so I owe you. So the monster inside of us says, I owe people. I owe somebody. I am in debt to them. I owe them is what my guilt says. So the first thing that we can do if we want to get out away from this monster and away from this debt is to confess what we took. Confess what we did, right? Confess what it is that we owe them. So Numbers talks about this. God laid out a law to Moses, and it says this in Numbers 5:5-7. The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, when a man or woman wrongs another in any way, and is so unfaithful to the Lord, the person is guilty and they must confess the sin he has committed. The act of confession is just this invaluable effect on your life. Guilt keeps people at arm's length, right? Guilt keeps people as if we're constantly trying to get back inside of their good graces and constantly trying to be enough. But what it is that when we confess what we did, it brings them back in. It stops them from treating them at arm's length or treating them as if we're trying to, you know, serve them in some different way or pay back that debt. And we put it all out in the open. We confess exactly what it is we took or what it is we did, right? So back to my story with my family member, right? I did. I thought for a minute many different ways I could try to spin this thing of, you know, what went wrong. But you know what? I just called them and I just said the complete truth. I just said, hey, you know what? You weren't supposed to hear that. That wasn't a conversation I knew you were listening to. But here's the truth. I became aggravated and I was, you know, upset about this, and that was wrong of me, because I know that you weren't able to be here to see her open the gift, and you just want to see what she looks like in it because you just want to enjoy it. And that was me probably, you know, not probably, but taking that for granted. And I'm very sorry for that, because I am very, very thankful for your gift. And I understand that you just want to enjoy her having it and you weren't able to be here and give it to her. So I'm very, very sorry, because that was very, very selfish of me and I wasn't very appreciative. So I'm very sorry. And I just, you know, just confession, right? Just lay it out there. Because here's the thing about confession, all right? Let me give you a key note about confession. And I've said this before. A confession has no buts in it, okay? There's no but in confession. There's no, well, here's what I did, but here's why, but here's what you did, but let me explain. It's, you know what, just black and white, here's what I did. And there's no probablys, or there's no, you know, and I might have taken it too far. You know, none of that. It's just black and white. Here's what I did. It's a confession. Very, very clear, very, very straightforward. Here's what I took from you. Here's what I know how I hurt you, right? It has to be very, very clear. In Psalms, David talks about this. He talks about how when we confess, the power of guilt is broken. He says in Psalm 32, he says, "When I refuse to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me." And guess what happened? David says, all my guilt was gone. You ever hear somebody get caught and then they confess and they talk about a weight being lifted off of them, right? Like there's some criminals and some people, like they're happy when they get caught because they don't have to keep hiding and lying, right? Because they feel guilt. And when they finally confess, they finally tell people what was going on or what they did, it's like, oh, and they talk about it feels like a weight is being lifted off of them. That's what guilt does. And that's what David just described to us. He said, man, I tried to hide from this. I tried to keep it to myself. I tried to just let it pass. But all it weighed me down. And God, you kept speaking to me. And I just continued to feel guilty. But then finally, I asked for forgiveness. I confessed. And oh, man, I felt free. It was so good to finally get that off my back and to finally tell somebody else. And that's exactly what confession does. So you and I, to battle that monster of guilt, we feel that initial feeling of guilt, which is a good thing. It's not bad. But we don't want it to linger. And we don't want it to change us and affect us in the core of who we are and how we interact with other people. So the first thing that we do is we confess. The second thing that we can do is we can return what was taken. Return what was taken. Anybody here remember the story of Zacchaeus, right? If you grew up in church, you learned that song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. Not the most politically correct song we ever learned in church, right? It's like whenever, what do you call one of them? Oh, he's a wee little man, right? Where'd you learn that? Church, you know, Miss Essie, second grade, right? Not politically correct. They're not wee people. I don't know what they are, actually. But Zacchaeus, right? Wee little guy, probably shorter than pastor, and he stole from people, he robbed from people, he took people's money, and then one day, Jesus comes into town, and he can't see him, he can't see over the people, so he climbs up in the, what tree was it? Sycamore tree. There are some Christians here. That's good. So he climbs up in the sycamore tree to see Jesus, and Jesus sees him up there, and he says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house, brother. Riblets on me. Let's go. Applebee's to go. We're going. We're going to your house. And they go and hang out and they have this transformational meeting, right? We don't know exactly what was said, but we do know that Zacchaeus was saved and began a relationship with God. And the first thing he did was confess what he took, but then he decides to return what he took from people because he felt guilty. And it says this in Luke chapter 19. It says, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, look, here and now, I will give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. So he's going to give everything back that he took, plus four times as much. Now, the law at that time stated that if you had stolen from somebody, all you had to return was what you took plus 20%. But he said, I'm going to give back, and I'm also going to give back four times as much, way above and beyond what the law says I have to do. I'm going to give back four times as much. You know why that was? It was because when Zacchaeus walked through the streets, and he saw people that he had done wrong and that he had cheated and that he had took from. He didn't want that feeling of guilt when he saw them. Because you ever notice whenever you hurt somebody or whenever you do wrong, you avoid them, right? Like when you were gossiping about them, you know, in the cafeteria, and you're like, well, Cheryl, let me tell you what she is, right? And then she overheard, and you know she knows now, you know what I mean? And so, like, you're constantly using the bathroom downstairs because you don't want to run into Cheryl, you know what I mean? And if, like, she's coming down the hall and you're coming down her, you're like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to hide behind this fridge for a minute. Wait, I don't want to meet eye contact with Cheryl because she knows I was talking about her, right? And you avoid those people, right? Or, you know, like whenever you do it to like your wife or your husband, right? Like when you're like me and you make your wife cry and she runs into the bedroom and locks herself in there, you know what I mean? And you just keep like peeking through the door to see if you can come in yet, you know what I mean? Because you know you did wrong and you're guilty and you were a bad boy. I love you, honey. And so you just keep peeking to see if it's safe yet, right? Because you feel guilty and you feel wrong and it keeps those people at arm's length, right? And Zacchaeus, he didn't want any of that. He didn't want any of that shame. He didn't want any of those awkward moments where you're like, hi. You know what I mean? He just wanted it to be all clear and all good. So he said, you know what? I'm going to return what I took from people. I'm going to confess that I did wrong. But then you know what? I'm going to pay back to you what I took. And Jesus, when he heard this, he said, yes, salvation has come to this house. This is a great thing. This is a son of God. Woohoo! I mean, it was an awesome time. But here's the thing that you and I know. Zacchaeus, he stole money, something physical, right? Something you can touch. But probably, if you're tracking with me so far, probably the question in your head is, but how do you return a stolen reputation? How do you return an insult? Whenever you say words to somebody and you hurt their feelings and you tear them down, I can't return that back to them. See, sometimes we steal physical things and we can return those things back, but there's some things relationally that we do that do so much damage. How do we return those things back to people? Well, here's the bad news of the day, is you can't. You can't return everything that you took. Sometimes you hurt people and sometimes you do damage, and the past is in the past. You can't go back and you can't fix it and you can't take back the words you said or you can't take back the actions that you did. Well, Pastor, then what do you do there? Well, that leads us to step three, the only thing you can do. The third thing you can do is ask the person you took it from to cancel your debt. So again, guilt, the monster, it says, I owe you. And in some situations, all that you can do is look at the person, confess what it is you took, confess what it is you did wrong, and then ask them. So, can I ask you a question? Will you cancel my debt to you? Will you forgive me? I remember when I was in second grade, we used to do spelling tests every week, right? Anybody else, do you still do that spelling test like every week in grade school? You know, every Friday was a spelling test. So, I came home on a Friday, and my mother said, hey, Michael, how did your spelling test go? And I said, I was eating. I was like, oh, it's good. I got 100%. And my mom's like, really? Wow, that's great. How do you know you got 100%? I said, because I checked. And my mom's like, what do you mean? What do you mean you checked? I said, I checked. I had my study sheet in my book bag behind me. And so I would write it down, and then I would go, I wonder if that's right. And so I would turn around in my book bag, and I would look at my study sheet, and I'd go, no, Apple doesn't have three P's, you know? And I would fix it, Mom. So I got 100%. And my mom's like, son, that's called cheating, son. And I was like, you know, but I was cheating, and so my mom, and I'm like, well, sorry, you know, I've done this for like 5 weeks, you know, and so there's like 3 more weeks in the quarter, Mom, it's fine, it's not a big deal, you know what I mean? And my mom's like, Michael, you cheated, you have to go tell Miss Parker what you did, and then I was like, what? No. See, Miss Parker was my favorite teacher of all time. She was the sweetest lady I've ever known. And I loved her to death. Miss Parker was just my absolute favorite teacher. And the first thing I thought of was like, oh man, I gotta go tell Miss Parker. Like because she thought I was perfect, you know, like a lot of people do. And I was like, oh no, like I just, you know, she's going, oh, no, I know, not, she's I'm good. She thinks I'm perfect and lovely, you know, and she loves rubbing my little blonde hair every morning, you know, and it just, no, I can't do that. She's going to think I'm tainted, you know? I can't do that. And my dad was like, Monday morning, we're going. And I literally, this is like the only time in my life, I was like, Dad, spank me. Just spank me, Dad. And he's like, no, you are going to go tell Miss Parker and confess. I was like, no, just spank me, Dad. Just do it. And he's like, no. So Monday morning, man, we go early. And we go and we walk in there. And Miss Parker, we got this meeting for her. And we walk in there. And I asked my dad, I was like, can you just tell her? Can you just say it for me? He's like, no, the words are coming out of your mouth. You know, my dad was a pastor. He was a mean guy. Pastors are awful. And he was like, no, you've got to say it. And so we walk in there, and I was hiding behind my dad's leg, you know, just hiding my head, just like huddled behind, because I was very small even then. And so I was just huddled behind it, you know. And he's like, go ahead, tell her what you did. And I just, you know, and Miss Parker was like, what, Michael, what happened? And I just yelled, I was like, I cheated. And she's like, what? And my dad explains to her the story, and I was just weeping, man. I was just bawling. Miss Parker, she was so nice and so gracious. I remember she took me over to the computer to play games, you know, like when we used to put floppy disk. Remember the floppy disk where you had to blow in the middle, you know, to put it in to play a game, you know? So she let me go over and she's like, Michael, you need to calm down before the other kids get here. And so she calmed me down and stuff. She was so gracious to me. And she let me retake all the tests and everything, and I failed all of them. And, you know, but she was so gracious to me and she forgave me and everything. And, you know, I was asking her to cancel the debt, right? Because I couldn't take back what I did. But she forgave me, and she never thought any differently of me. And so with some people, that's all we can do, is we can ask them to forgive us, to cancel our debt. Now, let me tell you something. Only the most gracious people in the world are going to actually cancel your debt, which is sad, but it's true. Is you're going to say, you know what? I can't change what I did. Here's exactly what I did. I know it was wrong. I'm repenting of this. But some people will still hold it over your head. And you know what I'm talking about. Those family members, those people who still bring up your past, still bring up those things that you did, still hold it over your head, the damage that you've done. And so understand this. In some situations, all you can do is ask them to cancel your debt. But still, only the most gracious people are going to actually be able to forgive you and say, you know what, it's all good. You don't owe me anything, it's fine, I'm not going to hold it over your head. But some people still will. And you know what, that leads us to the last thing that we can do. The only last thing we can do is then be done with it. Then be done with it. Because here's the thing, that person, in their heart, there's another monster raging, and that's anger. Anger towards you. And some people don't know how to deal with that. And so you have literally done all that you can do. And I don't believe in letting people, you know, leaving people on a hook and go, well, look, I'm gonna use this against you for a time. And you know what? There's going to be some time you're going to have to work to get back into my good graces. No, I don't believe in doing that. Me and my wife, Kate, we have a rule in our family. Once the fight is over, you can't go back and bring up that fight again. What's done is done. That's in the past. If I forgave you, then it should be clear from my head. History erased, right? You can't go back and do that, but some people will. And so, look, all you can do is confess what you've done and ask for forgiveness. And if they're not willing to give it to you, then be done. You should not feel any guilt any longer. If you've gotten straight with God and you've tried to get straight with that person, then that's all you can possibly do. And so consider the debt done. Now they may still hold it over your head, but you know what? You can't be tied to that any longer. Jesus talked about this. He was talking about the kingdom of God at his time, but this is a kingdom building thing. Hey, he talked about this. He sent the disciples out and he told them to send out the kingdom message. And he said, you're going to come into households where people aren't going to want to listen to it. And it's not going to take very well. And this is what he said to them in Matthew 10:14. He said, if any household or town refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, shake its dust from your feet as you leave. What he was saying is look, if this person is angry or doesn't know God and is resistant to the message of God, you can't beat a nail any harder, okay? stubborn people are going to be stubborn people. And all you're going to do by continually pounding and coming back again and again is make them more angry or more upset or more resistant to the message. And so you know what? Don't try to beat a dead horse. Just wipe the dust off your feet and leave and be done with it. And there's some people that you're going to do harm to, and then you're going to feel guilty and confess and try to be forgiven by, and they're not going to do it. So you know what? Go, well, I've done all I can. Thank you. And then go. But let the monster of guilt die. And that's something for us to remember from people that hurt us. Some of you in this room, you're not the person who's dealing with the monster of guilt. You're the person who's been hurt, right? There are hurt people in this room. That's something that you and I need to remember, is that when they respond to the guilt, that's a good thing. When they confess and the Spirit speaks to them and they're trying to get back in line with their relationships and with God, and they come to you and say, hey, look, will you cancel my debt? I confess what I did to you. I can only return so much that I took from you. Will you forgive my debt? You and I as Christians are supposed to forgive those people. You and I should not hold debts over other people's heads. Why? Because Jesus hasn't held our debt over our heads. Jesus died and he didn't make us do anything for it or work for it or have to earn it. He died on the cross freely so that you and I could be forgiven and so that our debts could be cleared, so that we no longer had to say to God, we owe you one. No, Jesus paid it, and we don't owe God anything. Now we can have a right relationship with him in the right way, where there's nobody owes anybody anything, because that's what a healthy relationship looks like. And so you know what that means, though? If God has forgiven us and isn't holding our debt over our head, when people come to us and they ask for us to cancel their debt, we have no right to keep that debt, and we have no right to hold it over their head. We have to give grace and mercy as freely as Jesus has given it to us. So, what about you this morning? Is there anything this morning that you are feeling guilty about? You know, last week we started talking about the heart, and we talked about things that are hidden underneath. Is there something inside hidden that maybe nobody else in this room knows about, but God and you know about it, and you're feeling guilty for it? Or somebody who's hurt you, or an addiction, or a habit that you have that you feel very, very guilty about. And it's eating you inside, it's weighing you down to be able to keep a mask on and to keep it from people. It's making you depressed, it's making you, you know, just doubt yourself. Is there anything in your life that is making you feel guilty? Look, today's the day where you can walk out of here and you can get that weight off your chest. You can confess to God and you can repent and you can have a change of heart and you can be transformed. And then you can walk out of here and you can start to make amends. You can return what was taken. And what you can't return, you can ask for the person to cancel your debt. Now look, it doesn't mean that things are going to go back to the way they were. Doesn't mean that, you know, you're just going to be, you know, your marriage is just going to go back to being strong, or your friendship is going to go back. There's still going to be some things to work through there. That's natural. That's normal. But it's a step in the right direction. So is there anything this morning that you need to confess to somebody? Is there anything recently that you've stole from somebody? Their time, their love, their memories, their energy, their experience. Can you ask for the debt to be canceled? And can you change your ways? And then can you be done with it? And know that in your heart that you're not a bad person, that you're not a screw-up, that you're not a stupid idiot, that you're like every other person on this earth. You're imperfect. You're imperfect, and you've made mistakes, and it's okay. You are still a loved child of God. And you are still important, and you are just as valuable, and you're not broken, and you're not a bad person. You just made a mistake, but God has given you a second chance. Don't let the devil ride you and make you feel like dirt, because it's only going to keep God and others at an arm's length from you. I'm going to ask the band to come back up, and we're going to sing one last song together. And as we pray, I just want us to take a moment to contemplate any guilt that we may be feeling in our hearts. And this morning, I'm going to ask that Pastor Carrie and Pastor Dwight come up, and I'm going to be up here as well. And maybe this morning, the first step that you need to take is to pray with somebody this morning. Is that maybe what you need to do is just say the words, let the weight be lifted off of you this morning, and just confess it to somebody else, and just say, you know what, I got to tell somebody this, and begin to work through it. And then as you leave here today, leave with the strength and wisdom to go talk to somebody, to go and confess to the person that you've hurt, and to ask them to cancel the debt so that you can be free and so that this monster of guilt can be dealt with. Will you stand with me this morning? Let's pray together this morning. And then as we worship today, as we worship, I invite you, if you want to come down and pray with somebody, we're available here this morning to pray with you today. God, today you've spoken to our hearts, you've spoken to our lives. And God, for some of us this morning, we have a guilty heart. There's something that we've done, there's something that we've taken from somebody else. And it is weighing us down. We've told ourselves, you know what, I'll let it pass, you know, or I just won't tell anybody, or I'll just secretly ask for forgiveness from God, and then, you know, it'll be done. But you know what, God, there's something relationally between me and somebody else. There's somebody I'm keeping at an arm's length, somebody that I'm avoiding because of that guilt, because I know what I've done, and I know that I've hurt them, and I know that what I did was wrong. And so, God, this morning, we want to be free from that guilt. We don't want it to weigh us down any longer. And so, God, this morning, we confess. We confess to you, this is what I did. Straight with it, black and white. This is what I did. No buts, no probabilities, no I guesses. This is what I did, and it was wrong. And God, will you give us the strength and the courage to begin to mend our relationships, to give back what we've taken, to have the humility to ask other people to cancel our debts, to forgive us. And God, if they don't, help us to be able to let it be done. Don't let the monster of guilt convince us in our mind that we're bad people, that we're screw-ups, that we're stupid idiots, or that there's just nothing good that we can do. No, God, you've called us children of God. You've called us your children. You love us, and you have a plan for us, and there is nothing that we've done that cannot be restored. God, you've told us time and time again that second chances are always available to us. And so, God, this morning, that's what some of us need this morning. We need a second chance. We need a second lease on life. And so, God, will you redeem us and make us righteous again? Will you put us in right relationship with you, and then will you help us to get in right relationship with others so that we can be effective at bringing the kingdom to light and have the life that we've wanted? Don't let this monster tear us down. Don't let the devil and his temptations make us feel things that aren't true and aren't real. Help us to just push those lies out. Just completely destroy those lies, God, that we keep continue to hear about ourselves. We are loved this morning, and we are running to you in your arms. Nothing hidden, nothing between you and I. God, we just want to cry out to you this morning and confess that we love you, that we want to be forgiven, that we want to be redeemed, and we want to be righteous once more.